enjoying it. We need silent, hidden, sacred time with God so that God can lead us in sacred righteousness, in deeper righteousness for the sake of our community. It seems so shamefully obvious to us now, looking back, to wonder, to look back at history and wonder how it was possible that so many Christians could see no evil in the Crusades, in chattel slavery, in colonialism, in the Holocaust, in Jim Crow, in the genocide of indigenous people, but they saw no evil in that because their communities saw no evil in that. There was no secret element, no hidden practice, no unmediated, unapproved word from God to lead a person beyond the limits of their community's righteousness. So whatever their communities told them was righteousness in their eyes. We need hidden prayers and hidden fasting and hidden righteousness so that our life with God is not limited to the visible world. I say it all the time because it's true. I cannot tell you enough how much I love this place. And not just this place, but this community. The Grove for me is literally the church of my dreams. And for a long time, I was embarrassed of that dream because all of the experts and authorities told me that it wasn't possible, it wasn't practical, it was naive. And then, after complete and total surrender, the Holy Spirit started to form this community all around us. And belatedly, I realized that it had never been my dream. It was God's dream that grace had placed in my spirit. So I'm telling you, I love this place, and I have been changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit through this place, through all of you. But as much as I love it, the Grove is not my God. And my faith is not in this church. We are the tiniest edge of the shadow of the glory of God. And the kingdom has come and is coming no matter what happens in this place. So on our best days, I can quietly rejoice that this is just a foretaste of all that eternally is. And on our worst days, I have peace and curiosity about how God is going to be God all by himself in the midst of this. The kingdom of God is not at stake here, and that makes us free. And I have learned, ironically, here in this community, to seek God in silence, to sit with the Spirit in private, to keep some things of faith secret, so that I learn to trust and hope in the hidden goodness of God. As much as I love this place is not all there is of me and God. And I implore you, I hope you love it here. I hope you are deeply, deeply blessed here. But I implore you, make sure that this place is not all there is of you and God. Make sure that there is a deep and hidden practice of you and God that nourishes you always. So how do you do that? It is deceptively simple. Just make a practice of praying and practicing righteousness and fasting in secret. Just begin small, imperfectly. And we put a little challenge on our bulletin. We're calling it the Practice Your Faith in Secret Challenge. I want to commend it to you. You'll see there's 5 levels. Level 1, pray the Lord's Prayer by yourself every day this week. And don't talk about it to anybody but God. Level 2, pray for 3 people every day next week. You can be one of the 3. And don't talk to them about it. Just seek their goodness before the Lord. Level 3, choose a fast if you're into that kind of thing. That just means seek God in a space of another good thing that you are setting aside for a time. But choose a fast in the next week. Let the Holy Spirit help you design it. And then keep it and hide it. And don't tell anybody about it. Level 4, practice generosity and compassion in a particular way, intentionally, every day next week. But make sure it's anonymous. Make sure that it is a secret, that no one knows about it, and don't even think about it yourself. And level five, and this sort of circles back to something we didn't have time to talk about last week. Jesus said last week, hey, if you are at the altar making an offering to the Lord, and you realize that there's someone in your community that you have something against or who has something against you, before you move on in worship, just leave your offering and go to that person and seek reconciliation. Jesus says, let go of the visible act of worshiping your God, the reconciler. And instead of doing that public ritual, go and privately seek reconciliation with that person, privately. Jesus says, if you believe that God is a reconciler, then trust God to be a reconciler, not just between you and God, but between you and your brother and your sister. And I'll tell you, warning, if you do this, it's probably not going to make you look righteous. It's going to stir up a conflict. But a community seeking real unity is a community of truth. And in this place, we will not have less conflict. We will have more conflict as we come to one another and vulnerably open up our hearts and say, hey, you hurt me, or I think I might have hurt you. Can we talk about that and find a way to move forward? Tell the truth, seek the truth, and give God the chance to be a healer and reconciler. And it's probably not going to lead to some big epiphany, but you will know that you did it as a secret act of faith in the power of our reconciling God. Church, there's no big finish to this sermon, because the big finish is all of you. There's a great leader in the Presbyterian denomination, of which we are a hidden part, but her name is the Reverend Diane Moffat. She's the leader of the Mission Agency, and she is a wonderful, powerful, anointed preacher. You should look her up on YouTube, Reverend Dr. Diane Moffat. And people always come up to her after her sermons and say, that was amazing, Dr. Moffat. That was amazing, Reverend Moffat. That was powerful. And all she ever says is, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens in your life. We'll see what happens in your church. We'll see what happens in your community as a result of these words. Because if it really was a powerful and anointed world, then something will happen. And if nothing happens and nothing changes, then it wasn't a powerful, wonderful, or anointed word. Jesus says, hey, be careful if everything you do for God is seen and mediated by other people. Hold some of it back. Keep it between you and God. There's nothing confusing about this teaching. We all know exactly what it means. It's just a matter if we'll do it or not. If we will let Jesus be our leader and model and teacher. If we will let Jesus be the one who teaches us how to follow Jesus. It doesn't matter if we agree or disagree. It matters if we do what he tells us. We'll see.